Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 in the time that we have, and good to see everybody here tonight. And it is interesting some of the things going on. I know in that article the pastor was mentioning it was unique how they went specifically to tie in that these schools, and that's just going to be the first step to ending scholarship program. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But we're going to keep serving the Lord as long as we can and continue to trust Him as the best we can. And even if we I was telling the pastor, you know, there's people all over the world. And I was in Chile and Peru. Those people have a government-mandated curriculum. They still have Christian schools. Well, the teacher is the key there. And sure, it's sad that kids are getting exposed to those things in textbooks, but the teacher can still point the gospel out and bring God into a variety of aspects. And then, you know, you have to make adjustments. But we pray that the Lord will give us freedom and liberty in this country, and there wouldn't be censorship from those things, but those days might come, and that's kind of what we wanted to talk about tonight in 1 Peter chapter 4, because there are going to be trying times if you haven't seen them yet. And you think about the book of 1 Peter, Peter was writing to people that were suffering. We've said this before. We think sometimes we have it so terrible, and then we just go back and read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or I was, you know, reading a little bit about the Colosseum and the Romans there and all the Christians that, you know, getting eaten by lions, or Christians hung out in rows of crosses or burned at the stake, Christians hiding in the catacombs. I mean, I think so far we've had it pretty easy. But that doesn't mean it's always going to be like that. We don't know. Things could change rapidly and quickly. We saw last year how quickly things can change in any type of scenario. Never imagined the day that this country would be shut down like that. But it happened like that. Things could change drastically, very quickly. And we've got to continue to trust the Lord, because this shouldn't be a surprise to us. Some of the things we want to talk about, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning of verse number 12, I'm going to leave you just some biblical mandates for trying times. I was reading through this passage, and there's four or five different points of action that are commanded in these passages that benefit us as believers during times of really testing. First one is in verse number 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." We better expect times of testing. The word there in the Greek is more of the idea of a test, some difficulty that you may go through. And we're not to think it strange, or the idea is don't be surprised, don't be shocked, don't be astonished. And I think sadly, especially in our country, we've had religious liberty for so long, we've been able to go to church and speak freely about the things of God and you know, have a witness for God and carry a Bible around. You know that some countries, people can't even do that. We've had it pretty good here. And so because we've had it that way for the past 250 years, it's a blessing to know and to have that privilege and liberty. So we tend to think, no way this would happen in our country. To be sure, the day would never come where people would be put in prison for having a belief that differs from the mainstream. Never thought you'd see that in your lifetime, maybe. I remember reading missionary stories when I was a kid, or when I was taking church history classes and going on through seminary. You always were talking about the events of church history and people that suffered, or people that gave up their lives just to print the Bible, to translate it into English, for example, for us. William Tyndale, John Wycliffe, the hated men. And I always thought, you know, that's way off. You know, we sure do have it good. And we don't have to face that kind of stuff. This is easy. You know what? When it's easy, we don't serve the Lord as fervently sometimes. We just kind of go right through things because it's easy. There's going to be a time of testing that easiness, to testing that commitment, to testing, are you still going to be faithful to the Lord? And so we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't sit there and ring, oh, what are we going to do? And I know that's sometimes our first thought. We're human. Of course, it's terrible to think about that. It's worrisome to an extent. And you think, wow, what's going to happen? You know, Lord, what are we going to do if this? And you think about those kind of things. But there may be days of testing coming. Days of trying. And don't be shocked. Don't be astonished as though some strange thing happening. Lord, what is this weird thing? I'm having difficulty. Expect it. You know, as Christ, we mentioned this on Sunday morning. As Christ said, marvel not when the world hates you. Because in reality, it's not you that they hate, it's Christ. So they hated me first. And as Christians, little Christ in us, the Spirit of God in us, the world hates that. They hate the truth. They hate the Spirit of Christ. So don't think it's strange or be surprised or be shocked when trying times and times of testing come into our lives. Not only should we expect times of testing, we'll go fairly quickly hopefully tonight, we should also rejoice and be glad in testing. This is one of the hardest things for me and probably for you. I don't know, maybe you're way more spiritual than I am, which you probably are. And you know, who would rejoice and be glad? This is great. We're suffering. This is awesome. Woohoo! I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and suffer some more. You know, we don't think that way. It's wearisome. It's hard. It's difficult to go through suffering and trials. But notice what the Lord, or Peter says through the Lord in verse number 13. Don't think it's weird or strange, but, verse 13, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, I mean, don't misunderstand me, but I really don't believe that yet in America we've gone through that. The sufferings of Christ. And here's the thing, you say, and it, I'm telling you right now, it frustrates me. It frustrates me to no end when error and evil triumphs. It's frustrating. And the truth doesn't seem to triumph, at least in our perspective. And it's very frustrating. We're like, Lord, what is going on here? Why is this happening? We are right. You know that Christ was right? Christ is the truth. What'd they do to Him? I mean, you could look back at some of these verses in 1 Peter. Look at, flip back a page, chapter 2, verse number 22. You know these verses. Who did no sin, neither was any hypocrisy, guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, railed on, even though He was right. That's a hard pill to swallow. He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. Boy, that's our pride, isn't it? You do that to me, I'm going to show you. Well, we're just threatening. Christ didn't. But He committed Himself. He bore in His own body our sins. It's repeated again in verse 18, kind of a similar thing. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Or chapter 3, verse 18. The just for the unjust. He went through these things for us. He was unjustly crucified. And yet many times we know the truth, don't we? We see error triumphing. We see things that are completely against God. You know, think about it. And I'm again, you know, I'm not, people think that, I don't want to get into the political stuff too much, but, you know, sometimes I tell people, look, when we voted for president, we weren't voting for the pastor of a church. Y'all do understand that. So don't think I'm not a Christian because I voted for a man that might be immoral. Were we voting for the pastor of the church? We were voting for a person that we thought would be the best one to preserve religious liberty in this country and to bring some type of decency back. And, you know, even things like the 1776 Project, completely destroy and revoke the 1770. We don't want them learning about the true America. When we're sitting there going, but that's the truth. The truth is called error and made fun of, like those textbooks, and it has to be eradicated. All we want is our liberty and freedom. Isn't that truth? Isn't that right? Isn't that... Why are we going to suffer for that? Because Christ did. Christ suffered for the truth. It's some tough pills to swallow, isn't it? We are partakers, verse 13, of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory will be revealed, ye may be glad also. You're rejoicing in verse 13 at the beginning, but at the end of the verse, when His glory is revealed, you're going to rejoice with exceeding joy. You know how you can rejoice with exceeding joy, even in trying times? Because you know that God has already gained the victory. We're not the losers. You know, we like to talk about winning and losing. You know, we joke around like that. I won, you lost. You know, in our natural state, you know, we kind of joke around with those kind of things. But in a true sense, spiritually, we're winners. I don't mean to make that trite. We're on the side of victory. Let us rejoice with exceeding joy. You know, don't you, you know, sometimes our flesh rises up and, you know, I don't know if you've ever played sports, but you know, you ever played against a trash talker? Maybe some of you that ever played sports played. I know Seth and Jared, and then when they're sometimes on the soccer field, there's kids that were just. I remember one school in particular that every time we played them, all they did was run their mouth on the just run their mouth. I always told the boys, I said, "You just be quiet. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't go for it." But I want to tell you something. It's a little bit sweeter when you beat them. In our own pride, you know, our own flesh, right, Mike? Right? We won the championship. Yes, right, Bri? Where's Brian at? Undefeated season in soccer back there, you know, scored a bunch of goals. Seth and his team won the soccer tournament as well against one of those teams that trash-talked. We beat him in overtime to go to the finals. We didn't say nothing. We were good sports, but deep inside, I'm sure those boys were like, yes, yes. You know, the thing is this. I'm not making it trite or trying to be silly, but it doesn't look like, in our perspective, that truth is winning. Does it? Doesn't look like truth is going to triumph very good. But I tell you what has happened is, like the prophet said, truth has fallen in the streets. Those are the days we live in. And the days of Jeremiah, where good is evil and evil is good. This is just history again, in a different nation, another generation, and it's just repeating over and over, and judgment's going to come. But you know what? You're on the side of victory. And when Christ's glory one day is going to be revealed, and when that glory is revealed, the Bible says every knee is going to bow. And what are we're going to be glad with exceeding joy. We're with our Lord. We're on the side of the truth. We're on the side of victory. Isn't it great to be a winner? You know? A spiritual winner. Nothing wrong with that. Spiritual victory in Christ. God's glory is going to be revealed one day, so rejoice. When insulted, we're actually being blessed. Verse 14. If ye be reproached, that's literally the word insulted. Nobody in here likes to be insulted. I don't, but you get used to it. Then you insult yourself before Chris has a chance to. Right? Yeah. You know, he broke me of that real quick when I came here a long time ago. I didn't know what to think. You know, if you've ever been around, we break our new teachers in real quick. We just send them into Chris's office and he tears them down real good and picks on them and jokes with them and, you know, then they're good. But we like to joke around and things like that, but nobody likes to be insulted, you know. You don't like to be insulted. You know what the Bible says? If you're insulted for the name of Christ, happy or blessed are ye. They called me names because I was a Christian. They saw me in the restaurant praying and made fun of me. They saw me reading my Bible in between classes at a secular university. Well, praise God. I was insulted. Blessed are you. Happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, the world's part, he is evil spoken of. That's what you should expect from the world. They're going to speak evil of our Lord. They're going to speak evil of you. But on your part, he's glorified. Why? Because you're being faithful. When you're faithful to the Lord, when you obey the Lord, even in test and trial, that's part of glorifying God. So expect times of testing. Don't be surprised. Rejoice and be glad in testing. That's really hard for us to do sometimes, isn't it? You know, my wife picks on me and says, you know, men, when they get a cold, it's like the world ends and, you know, and go lay in the bed and complain and moan and groan, you know. And women y'all just keep on going. I don't know how you do it. And you carrying the kids and all those things. Oh, I got a sniffle. I'm going to die. You know, that's not the kind of trials I'm talking about. But anyway, in testing and difficulties and things that we don't like to go through. And it seems so hard to bear. Rejoice and be glad. The Lord's going to bless. Number 3, and this is an important one, verse 15. Strive for holiness. We should always strive for holiness. But even more specifically in times of testing, look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. When we're going through testing, we got enough to worry about than worrying about being a busybody. But the point is here, suffer for right, not wrong. Did you know, as the Bible says, and you know the verse, the way of a transgressor is hard? Just think about lives of transgressors or people maybe you know that have rejected God. Think about how difficult their life is. The mess that just because of the sins and the actions and the sins and the choices and the consequences, it's hard. If it was easy, you know, it's part of the natural consequences. Sin is hard. And when we, you better not come in, it's a good thing I've learned in this ministry from the preaching of Pastor and Dr. Hobbs, don't take consequences away. You know, parents like to do that a lot. We're all tempted to do that. I'm going to step in and alleviate the situation. It's hard. You're going to suffer if you're a murderer, if you're a thief, if you're an evildoer. You're living a life of sin, guess what? You're going to suffer. Let's not let sin be the reason that we're suffering. Or if we're living in sin, if you're living in sin, you have no right to complain about suffering. You brought it on yourself. You chose the path of sin. There's the suffering that comes along with it. It's going to just be natural, a part of that. So don't suffer as a sinner. But look at verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian. Random example. Or maybe someone's been an alcoholic their whole life. I'm suffering with this terrible liver cancer. Poor me. We'll pray for you. We'll help you. I hope you come to Christ. But why is that happening? I'm not downplaying that. I'm not being mean and unloving. I'm just saying, why is that happening? You're suffering because of it. You were an evildoer. Is that simple? Or people that are very immoral, they have their own sufferings they go through. Or people that make choices to murder and to kill, and then they're like, molestation of kids and all those terrible things people do. And then they're in prison and they're suffering, and their lives is a wreck, and they've lost everything, and they don't have any money, and it's just terrible, suffering, because of sin. That shouldn't be why believers suffer. We should strive for holiness. Just because we're going through a testing and a trial period doesn't mean we pull back and then just, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do and live like I want. Now more than ever is the time to continue serving the Lord. So if you're living in sin, don't be upset at the suffering. But let's tie that into verse number 16. Maximize your Christian faith. Don't minimize it. You know what the temptation is when testing comes? Is to minimize my beliefs. I don't want people to know what I believe. I don't want people to know that I'm a Christian. I've been hanging out with these people, and I don't want them to know, really. I'll suffer. Don't make fun of me. We talk to the high schoolers a lot about peer pressure and the middle schoolers. Afraid to speak up. Afraid to take a stand. Afraid to do what's right because of what my friends will think. Let's be unashamed. Look at verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. I might suffer. When you're suffering, that's the time to continue to be bold about your faith in Christ. Now's not the time for Christians to go and think, we better not say anything. We better take the word Christian off of our school. We don't want people to know. Seth and I were talking about Sunday night. We were driving. I think we were going to get pizza. Then we saw the pastor at Winn-Dixie. He was buying something healthy. We were buying Doritos. I don't know what you're buying. We weren't buying anything healthy. We were buying junk food. Seth said, it's like if we took the name Christian off of our school, people wouldn't care anymore. They wouldn't try to hold you to a standard. It's that easy. Oh, man. Tough times are coming. You know what? Why don't we'll just be Santa Rosa School. That's what we need to do. We'll just change the name of our school so that we don't have to suffer. and they won't know that we're Christians. Mm-mm. So what the Bible says, don't be ashamed. It's not talking about, you know, necessarily being all big and proud and haughty, but a sense of boldness that this is what I believe. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in His Word. I want to uphold the truth, and if I suffer for it, then fine. But I want to serve my God, and I'm not going to be ashamed. Let Him glorify God, verse 16, on this behalf, on His behalf. Don't shy down. Maximize. Don't minimize. We don't want people to know. We got to continue to speak the truth. You know what the world wants you to do? Just fold. That's what the world wants you to do. A little bit of pressure, down, over. Reminds me of the days of Jeremiah. We've looked at that verse. And that's the days where everybody was going to idolatry. And you would never have thought it that you'd come to a day when God's chosen people in Israel, His very own chosen people, were taking Jeremiah and throwing him in prison and persecuting him because he simply said the truth. Same thing could very easily happen right here in our country. We never thought, why? Wow. And what did Jeremiah say during those days? When the masses, oh, we're okay, we're doing fine, God's still going to bless us. You know, it makes people... I don't think some people need to say the name of God. Some of these people, they're so evil, and yet, God bless America. You're an evil person. Don't say that. Don't say that. That's what Israel did. Oh, we're still serving Jehovah, as they've got 50 Baal gods over there. It's messed up. And what did God say during the days of Jeremiah? When there was just such a messed up mindset, He said, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. A man that's going to maximize. And He said, I found none. That will be a sad day in this country if we come to that, where God's looking. And He says, I found none. Because we went into minimize mode. Some of the greatest times, you can go back and study it in church history, was when the church was persecuted. Some of the greatest growth of the church, as they said, the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the faith, or the fertilizer, basically, of the faith just spreading like wildfire. And it's time to maximize. Then lastly, some encouragement that the verse ends. Well, let's go to verse 17 and we'll get to the last one. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You've heard that verse. There's judgment coming on this nation. We know it. We know it. Because it says so in the Bible that when a nation goes this way, this is the judgment. But it must begin at the house of God. You know why? Because there's going to be some purging. And God's going to find out who's on what side here. Where's those that truly believe and trust in me, or those that just kind of, we like having the name Christian and we like saying the word, you know, Jesus, and that we trust in God. We like that religious talk and, you know, feeling good about our American traditions. But when the fire comes, that's why the judgment comes. It's going to be a sorting. Sort it out. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Boy, there's a lot in that one phrase. You want to talk about being humbled? I don't want to talk about how spiritual we are and all the good things we do and how many times we go to church and how great we are. You know what you are? You're scarcely saved. Well, that'll humble you, won't it? It's God's grace. That's it.
That's the scarcity. That's it. That's why we're saved.
We try to make it out like, well, look how great I served God for 45 years and God wouldn't dare. Oh, what are you talking to God like that? I've earned it.
We're scarcely saved. Boy, that's humbling. And if we're scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
They've made their choice. They've chosen evil and error and rejection of truth. God's going to take care of it. So I feel like Asaph a lot. Lord, I'm looking at the prosperity of the wicked and it's driving me nuts. Been driven nuts for the past few months. When evil triumphs, it makes you sick. Lord, why? You know that God's already going to take care of it. And when God judges, it's way better than if, little old me try. Why does that matter? God's going to take care of it. He's going to judge. Wherefore? Number 5, our last point. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of your soul to Him in well-doing as a faithful Creator. Entrust your soul to God during testing. Testing and trial is not the time to run the other direction. It's not the time to give up on God, young person. Oh, man, I was going to serve God, but, it was really hard. I just quit. I was going to go to the mission field and when I was a kid and I got there and, they didn't tell me it was going to be like this. I want to go back to mommy. Now's not the time to quit. I wanted to serve God, but people made fun of me. That's not entrusting. It's not the time to run. It's the time for each of us personally in our lives to commit to the Lord. I appreciated what Belinda Richter said at her testimony on Sunday morning. I don't know if you remember that. But she talked about God convicted her that, sure, revival may not come to a nation. It may not even come to a church. But you know what? You can do something about that. You can be refreshed and renewed and more fervent in your study of God's Word and in pleading with God to build your life and continue to conform you to Christ and be revived personally. You say, well, Lord, just help that person over there and help that church. What about you? It's time for us to entrust and commit our soul, literally to turn it over. It means to place it before God. Give it over to Him. Like, Lord, I can't, I'm not eternal. I'm a temp, but here, I'm, you have my soul. I am trusting in you. My hope is in you. I'm placing it in you. So no matter what happens here on earth, I'm still with the Lord. It's very difficult to think about testing and trial and what could happen. This is my prayer. I would say, Lord, preserve our religious freedom. I think every one of this room, we would want that prayer answered. Lord, preserve it. Lord, allow us to continue to meet at Grace Bible Church. Allow us to continue to serve at Santa Rosa Christian School. Allow us to still have a community program with a gospel emphasis. That's every one of our prayers. But what are we going to do if that doesn't happen? Oh, it's terrible. It's persecution. Well, we're going to rejoice and be glad because we're glorifying God by doing right. We're going to continue to strive for holiness and purity. We're going to maximize the fact that we still believe in God. We're not going to go hide in a corner. We're going to entrust our soul to God. It doesn't matter what they do to your body. Oh, they killed me. They're going to kill me. Like I said before, what's the worst that would happen if they kill you and you're trusting in Christ? The worst that can happen is you go to heaven. Is that really the worst? That's so bad? Not that I'm trying to be doom and gloom, but praise the Lord. We want to be there anyway, don't we? He's prepared a place for us. He's there waiting, and He's working it all out. And it's tough in the flesh. It's hard. It's hard for me. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard. It drives me nuts. When I see evil triumphing and I see the probabilities of the severe testing that's coming, if not for us, I tell you, our children, grandkids, it's going to be a different, who knows? Who knows what they want to do coming after religious liberty and things, but we want to still serve the Lord. We want to rejoice and be glad. God help us to do that. Father, thank you for this passage in your word. It's been such an encouragement to me. I ask, Father, that even if we face times of trial and difficulty, that we would rejoice and be glad in our Lord. Father, thank you so much that we have promises that we can believe. And yeah, we're going to be made fun of for believing them and be called crazy and cultish and all that stuff. But Lord, you're going to be glorified and we're going to rejoice and be exceeding glad in our Lord. Help us, Father, live in that hope. In Christ's name we pray, amen.